Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Checkered flag ends the race, but it's only the start of the conversation. Michelin post-race tech on IMSAradio.com. Have your say. Ask the experts. Make your point. Michelin post-race tech. The end of the race is only the beginning.
Well, quite a few talking points and plenty coming in on the hashtag MichelinPRT at IMSA Radio. Before we get into that, let's go to Shea Adam and vacuum up a few more of the drivers we haven't spoken to. Shea's gone down towards the Victory Circle area. Shea, who are you with now?
I'm with the birthday boy and Ryan Hardwick, the race winners for GTD for Wright Motorsport. I wanted to try and find Johnny and make him cry again, but he's not here, so I guess I got to make one of you two cry. First off, Ryan, what's it like to win here?
This is awesome. I've loved coming to this track for many years, and this is my first win here, so it's a special one. And to do it with Jan and this great team, I mean, it's just awesome. This is definitely a competition amongst teams, and I feel that I'm a part of the best team in the paddock, and that's gives us results like today. It's a good birthday present for Jan, too.
Yeah, it really is. And Jan, for you, getting to drive around Bill Oberlin, how in the world did you make that look so easy?
It was just such a fun race, and lots of good battles, and it's always, I mean, I love racing with Bill. We've had some great battles over the last 2 years, and today it came to us. We had a really good car there at the end. I'm just so happy for the team, and to come from the back and to win the race, it's awesome.
Yeah, four races in and two wins, so congratulations, guys. That's quite a record.
Thank you.
Jeremy Shaw is in the Hackney Global Broadcast booth with me. Shea Adam will grab one or two more drivers. Let's have your questions, points arising, or anything you want clearing up at IMSA Radio, hashtag Michelin PRT. That was a cracker, Jeremy. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Only one intervention from the safety car. You and I think, are of the same mind. We like long green flag runs. It does tell us who is doing the best job, effectively.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I thought it was a tremendous race all the way through, and the Acura certainly at the front of the field had a handle on everybody else, but there was nothing to choose between the two of them.
No.
And some bold strategic calls, I think, there by the number 60 team, some great driving by Tom Blomqvist really took the fight to the Konica Minolta team for Wayne Taylor Racing, and that car with Ricky Taylor at the wheel in qualifying was absolutely sublime, but Albuquerque did a great job as well in the race, and they came away with the victory here by a narrow margin. So yeah, that was exciting out front. LMP2 was a really good battle. You know, all six cars finished on the lead lap, on the yeah. same lap as each other. Well, the field had been lapped by the overall race leader, so it won't show as they all finished completed the same number of laps, but they all were within a lap of each other. Mm. That, I think, is really, really good. In GTD, again, the pro cars came out in front, but Jan Halen was absolutely flying there at the end, and he really took full advantage of that Porsche. A dominant win, really, for the Porsches in both of the pro and the non-pro categories in GTD.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Shea is waiting for the Mike Shank Racing team. They appear to be the only team that haven't made it to Victory Lane at the moment. Let's go to some of your submissions on the hashtag MichelinPRT at IMSA Radio. Sean Olmsted echoing what we've both said. What a great race right the way through to the end. Love this circuit. Love the helicopter view. That's Benoit Bouchard. He said, we see a lot of drone views in coverage nowadays, but it's not the same as a proper helicopter chasing them down the straight at those speeds. Tend to agree. If you were watching the live international feed, the world feed, it's good to see that today. We talked a little bit, Jeremy, about the accuracy at this track. They did, you know, Ricky Taylor said in the poll interview this year, yes, it's an accurate track. Yes, we're good here, but we've got to make that work for us and convert. They certainly did that today.
Yeah, they did. It was a tremendous performance by both of those two. I mean, you know, they each put each other under pressure, but there were no cracks in the armour there at all. Either of those two teams, you know, the Ganassi Cadillac team, they've got a little bit of an advantage. As we heard some of the Acura teams saying earlier on, they are a team. I mean, it's a two-car team, and they can kind of split the strategies if they need to. Unfortunately, that didn't become an issue at all, yeah, because there was a problem very early on for the 0-1 car, and then a mistake, unusually, for number 0-2. So, you know, neither of the Ganassi cars featured towards the end of the race strongly at all, which would be very disappointing for that team. But, you know, that's what, again, it's teamwork all the way around. No mistakes from anybody, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, it seems a million years ago, but it was, in fact, you know, only under 3 hours ago when we were talking about our Porsche keys to the race. Track position, we flagged that up, Jeremy, as key. And frankly, those Acuras never lost it. They were in the position to be able to dictate at the front of the field. They worked the traffic right. They made sure they looked after their tyres. Their pit strategy was spot on, both of them. It could have gone either way, as you rightly say. You know, a couple of things differently might have changed it. And keep it on the black stuff. That was the other thing I said. They ticked every box in our Porsche keys to the race, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, didn't they? And that's what it takes, you know, because the slightest hint of any sort of a mistake is going to get pounced upon. And you know, if you can keep it mistake-free, yeah, you've done the job. Well done.
Yeah, absolutely understand that. The Cadillacs, it was a brave effort. You mentioned the problem for the Chip Ganassi cars. Neither of them had a clean race. We didn't see the 0-1, really. They never even got started. An error, uncharacteristic error that was very costly for Alex Lynn when he was charging along. The 31 was the best of them, the Whelen Engineering Cadillac with Tristan Nunes and Pete Oturani. You know, okay, they were 25 seconds down at the end. It could have been a heck of a lot worse, but it did seem that they were fighting that car. All of the Cadillacs looked... what's the word I'm looking for? They did look settled, the cars. They didn't look happy, those cars. And the drivers seem to be having to work very, very hard indeed.
Yeah, true that. And, you know, you've got to make the car comfortable for the drivers. It's a long stint here. And if the car isn't balanced all the way through the stint, you're going to have problems. We saw several teams struggling towards the later stage of the race, emphatically not in GTD. The Porsche out front that smoked everybody. Yeah. He just sighed through the field, didn't he, Jan Halen? That was seriously impressive.
Came from a long way back to overtake, yeah, what, three cars. He was down in fourth or fifth the last time I looked, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, he's up at the front, yeah, of the field. Obviously, have stealth mode as well on that car, as well as he fought his way through. I want to go back down to Shea, who's down by the victory podium area. The overall podium being slightly delayed, Shea, because we didn't have the MSR second place cars. Those drivers have now arrived, but I'm looking at some, yeah, of the pictures as well. They did not look happy. What's going on?
No, they don't have smiles on their faces. I saw Tom Blomqvist walking back towards the pit lane earlier on. We delayed the podium ceremony, as you said, because those drivers couldn't be found, but they were being brought over by Matt Cleary from Sunday Group. They are now standing on the podium holding up their trophies, but there's no smiles on their faces. And third place is now walking up. That is Pipo and Tristan. They look pretty happy with that. Of course, all the Cadillacs felt as if they were fighting for the best Cadillac position of the weekend. Make that what you will. But yeah, the two Acura drivers wearing pink and black, they're not smiling as they hold up their trophies. I don't know why. They finished second. They're still in really good standing for the championship. Yeah. They should be.
Fastest lap as well for that car. I like the fact, I mean, I like people who are competitive enough to be unhappy at finishing second and still being in the championship race. We could speculate that there might be something else going on there. Two Acuras, but I don't think there's any team orders between the two Acuras, are there? Jeremy?
Yes, no, don't take each other out. I mean, no, you know, the only order is don't do anything silly. And it certainly got pretty close, didn't it? They got very testy between those two at a couple of different stages during the race. Yeah,
I wonder if there's been something going on there that we weren't party to. LMP2, Delatraz, for me, the star of the show there amongst some very good drivers. Montoya made a mistake coming in to serve a penalty, spun the car, and then spent what I'm sure felt like 20 minutes to him reversing backwards and forwards to get the car pointing in the right direction. And ultimately, you know, they were only 30 seconds back at the end. That was costly there. Two PR1 Mathesons, let's talk about those at LMP2, because they were first and second and ran pretty well. Yes, there was problems at the beginning for the pole sitting car, and that car had to fight its way back through the field as well. But they just didn't seem to fulfil what we'd seen in practice and qualifying, Jeremy.
No, strange that, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not quite sure why, I must admit, because the number eight team certainly stole a march by bringing their non-pro John Ferrano into the pits at the earliest possible opportunity and getting Louis Delatraz into that car. But I think Delatraz had to sort of stretch his fuel a little bit after that, but he was able to do that very successfully, and he was gone from there. I mean, they got him in the car significantly before anybody else, and the pace he had, he just blitzed past everybody, you know, not literally on a racetrack, but he was running off strategy compared to the other guys, and he made up the time, you know, by the time the other guys made their pit stops, then he was gone, long gone in the lead. So it was a tremendous, again, team performance by Tower Motorsport to win this race.
Here's something for Shea to look at. It's a bit of one of those odd stats. I can't remember in any of the classes in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, particularly in a class that's as competitive as LMP2 is right now, with the quality of drivers that we've got there, I can't remember where all of the podium finishing cars had a spin in the race. Montoya spun in the pit lane, Dwight Merriman spun at the beginning, and also, of course, we had Ferrano who spun very early on and had to come back from a lap down. That is unusual, to say the least, now, Shea, isn't it?
Yeah, but I want to say it happens at Daytona every year. But that's also a very, very long race. In a short 24
race? 24-hour race. Yeah, sure. Fair point.
Yeah.
That's your job. That's your job, to find out when it lasts. And by the way, who last spun coming into the pit lane to serve a penalty? Juan Montoya will not be happy about that at all.
Just looking at the points in LMP2, by the way, it's difficult because the drivers are all different from Sebring. But in the team championship, PR1 Mathesons Motorsports, I reckon, will continue to lead. They'll have 697 points. Of course, this is just the second round of the season-long championship for LMP2. Yes. So they'll have 697 to the 675 of Era Motorsport, finishing second to an excellent run for Dwight Merriman, despite his several spins during the week. And Ryan Dayal did a great job, of course, to bring that Hurt car home in second place. Today's winners, Tower Motorsport, move up to third on 642. So 55 points covering the top three in LMP2.
Yeah, in GTD Pro and GTD, the BMWs look strong at times, but ultimately, as we've mentioned, the Porsches came to the fore. A couple of performances that we have to mention, though. Vasser Sullivan in second in GTD Pro, and Carbomb with Peregrine right at the end there, nicking second position with a sprint to the line. And I'm not sure what Jeff Westfall did, whether he, you know, stuck his nose out, put his fingers out of the car or whatever there, but nicked it by 0.037 of a second. Let's take that one first. Not one of the big shiny teams in GTD, and yet have pulled out a cracking result there, the Carbon team, Jeremy.
Yeah, brilliant. And again, great strategy there. Steve Dynan electing to keep Robert McGuinness out for a lap or two under that first full course caution, because he wasn't convinced they'd met the minimum drive time. Then they made their driver change, and Jeff Westfall brought it home, I think, from there. So that was a really good strategic move. The car was quick, clearly. And Westfall, you know, did a really good job with it as well. So not quite sure. Again, I'd like to see that photo finish again for second and third place. I'm still not convinced that Jeff Westfall got it. But look, 0.037. It's awfully difficult to see that when, particularly when there was such a speed differential, wasn't it? I mean, the Lamborghini was definitely coming past the BMW. As they both took the flag. Wow.
I think Bill was struggling for grip towards the end there.
Yeah,
he was leading the category, then dropped back behind Jan Heerlen, and Westfall was stuck behind him for a while, and he was one of the Turner was one of the first teams that stopped for their last stop, which works great if you get a safety car, but it does mean, of course, that you've sometimes taken a gun. Taking a knife to a gunfight if you are running out of grip, as Bill was. Didn't get the forward progress off turn 11 in the sprint to the line. But great, great variety with Porsche, Lamborghini, BMW, AMG, Lamborghini again in the top six for GTD. And in GTD Pro, Jeremy, Porsche, Lamborghini, BMW, Corvette. But got to talk about Ben Barnicut, the Vassar Sullivan 14 team, who did a cracking job. They've been fighting. They've had some very bad luck, particularly at Sebring. Jack Hawksworth did a good job early on in that Lexus RCF. That'll be a result that they'll feel like celebrating tonight, I think.
Well, again, because that's their second consecutive second-place finish. They did the same at Long Beach, didn't they? So a really good run for that team. And now, you know, right in contention. As I said, the Pfaff Porsche leads over the Corvette, but Vassar Sullivan not far behind in third position. So super tight there. The GT, the non-pro car for Vassar Sullivan, I'm not so sure that was a smart decision. Well, they probably had to change the tyres at the start, but losing all that track position certainly cost them a lot of time and I think probably an opportunity to finish on the podium. So they lost a little bit of ground, but did come back and finish in sixth place for Aaron Tielitz and Frankie Montecarlo. So that's a good effort.
Let's go to Shea, who's got Ben Barnicut now. Perfect timing, Shea.
Well, he just got off the podium, so it is a nice time to swoop in there and talk to him, because first time here, you wind up with another trophy. I mean, you raced here a couple years ago in a lot longer race, but a great team effort today to get the Lexus back onto the podium, isn't it?
Yeah, solid. You know, it's the very first podium for Lexus and Vassar Sullivan here, so that's amazing, and I'm so happy to be a part of it. We had a tough day yesterday. Qualifying didn't go very well at all. And, you know, we feel like we've been struggling with the speed of our car, not through a lack of team effort. You know, we've done everything we can, but yeah, we had a great strategy and made the most of our day. Jack did a great job. The team did an amazing job to get us the position on strategy, and then the end was just a time management race, and luckily I hung in there.
So just a little bit of a party tonight then, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's a double podium in California. You know, great way to bounce back after a tough Sebring. So yeah, we'll be celebrating this one for sure.
And it seemed like you had a fun battle at the end with Connor DeFilippi, didn't you?
Yeah, it was tough because at the start of the stint, I was saving the tyres and Connor came at me really fast. And at that point, I was thinking, oh, what do I do now? Do I push or do I keep saving the tyres? I kept saving the tyres, you know, but that meant he was giving me pressure. And I could kind of manage it, but then we caught a couple of back markers and it got close. I thought he maybe had me once or twice. But, yeah, just somehow managed to keep him at bay. You know, he drove a great race, was very clean. You know, I appreciate that a lot, so... yeah, solid day. Thanks to everyone at Vassar Sullivan, Lexus and Jack.
Congrats, Ben. I'll see you at Watkins Glen, right?
Yeah, see you there.
Yes, Watkins Glen next time out for those guys. Interesting comments there by Ben Barnicut, echoing what we thought, Jeremy, that it was a full team effort and proving again, you are Porsche keys to the race. It's not just as simple, just because you can bolt a new set of tyres on every time, that doesn't take the tyres out of the equation. And clearly today, with the heat of the sun on the WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca tarmac, every single driver that we talked to earlier in the week said degradation, deg. Yeah. And it was all about their managing that today in race conditions when everything else is going on. That's not an easy thing to do.
It certainly isn't, and that's exactly what they did. For the Vassar Sullivan team, they've always struggled with tyre degradation historically.
On the rears particularly, so yeah.
Yeah, but they worked so hard in over the course of the last couple of years, and to perform that well here, particularly where a track where tyre degradation is worse than most other places, is a real feather in the cap for that whole Vassar Sullivan team.
Shea Adam was down in the pit lane and Jeremy Shaw joined me in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Thanks to our technical teams on site and up at Charlotte in North Carolina from NASCAR Productions. Tim Greer and Curry Cobb made sure we went to the world on IMSA Radio. We'll be back with you over the weekend of May the 13th to the 15th. Another 2.25 mile circuit, another natural terrain road track as well. Two extra corners It's Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Oh, I do like that place. And if we get a race that's half as good as we did today, we'll have another cracker. Thanks for being with us at the Hyundai Sports Car Challenge here at WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca. Great to have your company. We'll see you on Midweek Motorsport over on RS1 on Wednesday. We'll have the stats from Valkyrie for that as well. See you then. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.